freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. The storytellers say an old city without a legend is like a cow without a cud. And if so, the city of Memphis, Tennessee would have plenty to chew on, even if the legend of Stacker Lee were its only one. In this chapter, Destination Freedom brings you an account of the mythical Paul Bunyan of the Outlaws, around whom grew these tales of Stacker Lee.
Stacker Lee, oh, Stacker Lee.
You know, nobody knows where Stacker Lee got started, but I got it straight from folks who saw him and lived to tell about it. Stacker Lee's a tale straying like an alley cat from house to house. Fragments flying from lip to lip. Jaybird gossip and mockingbird tales from housemaids, butlers, gamblers, bartenders, and shoppies who tied together the shreds and shards of Stacker Lee. And this is the story they tell.
Stacker Lee, from Tennessee.
They say that the night Stacker Lee was born, there was a thunderstorm that bounced the earth back and forth like a cue ball on a billiard table. And it rained fire for 5 straight hours. In the gambling houses along the muddy Mississippi, all the cards turned to aces, and the dice rolled nothing but 7s to announce his coming.
Stacker Lee.
The storm was so terrible that 6 planets resigned from the solar system and plunged into the Milky Way. The dead stuck their heads above the graves and held a conference and voted to boycott anybody born on this terrible night, even if it was
Stacker Lee.
Yeah, things were so disarranged that a frantic flea bit an elephant and paralyzed him. And Simon Legree joined the NAACP. One apple dropped into the Mississippi and made it run pure cider for a solid week. In hell, the devil's fire went out like a light. And Satan nearly caught pneumonia, swearing on a ton of coal to get the soul of
Stacker Lee.
But in the cool blue morning, the earth was still intact. And somehow, old Josiah Lee quit work in that cafe, slung his 12-string guitar over his shoulder, and went home to see what the weird night had brought him.
Well, Rosa, you up ready?
You see me up, don't you, Josiah?
Sure, but everything's all right, ain't it? I mean, the baby.
He was born.
Well, praise the Lord. Great day. What was that?
You praised the wrong one. This was the devil's doing.
Now, Bertha, you're just upset. Can't say I blame you after the night we've had. Can I see my baby? What's he been doing?
Growing. Of
course, they all do.
But this one's been growing 1 foot an hour.
Now, Bertha, you shouldn't...
Hey, Ma!
Great guns. Who's that?
It's him.
Will you two stop gabbing and get me out of this 2x4 crib? I've outgrown it. Ah! Ma!
You know, They say that Stack tore up his crib before he'd been christened. Kicked through the slats and stood up with a full set of milk-white teeth and stalked into the living room and stood arms akimbo.
Good Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I met the devil.
So, you might Paul?
Well, theoretically speaking...
Then what's my name?
We had thought of naming you after Cousin Jacob, but...
He named the boy before the devil does.
Son, you're sure stacked? I'll name you Stack, because you're built like steel. Does that suit you?
It'll do.
Getting ready to go someplace, son?
I'm just stretching. Just stretch.
Yeah, they say when Stack of Lee stood up to stretch, his fist punched holes in the rooftops and knocked out a 40-pound buzzard flying overhead. And when he'd settled, he said,
"Hey, Paul, get me something to scratch my back.
Won't my hairbrush do?"
"No, it won't. Give me that 45 pistol. You got one, ain't you?"
"Sure, but I never had no use for it."
"Well, I got use for it."
Stack Lee started by scratching his back with 16 shots skimming along the spine. They tickled him. And his ma and pa stood holding on to each other in wonder and fear. And finally, his old man got his voice back and said,
"Son, just what do you intend to be?"
"I guess I'm going to have to be the baddest baby ever born.
Stack of Lee, oh, Stack of Lee."
Then he picked up his old man's 12-string guitar for company and sauntered out on Beale Street, where the blues and Stack of Lee were born. He saw signs everywhere saying, "Colored folks, keep out, and white folks only." And he shook his head and said,
"I wish you ever put up those signs and go right straight to..."
Well, if it ain't my old pal Stack of Lee. Just down here a-wishing and a-wishing.
I ain't a day old yet, and I ain't your pal. You're the devil. In fact,
right, y'all. I'm just a little ahead of myself. I always get a little ahead of myself. It's the devil in me.
Yeah. Well, I ain't gonna let you get ahead of me.
Boy, I got a proposition for you. Better than anything you ever dreamed of. And you running from it. Suppose we go over in my office and have a nice sociable drink. Get friendly-like.
Well, I guess that wouldn't be...
Good. My office is located over in the graveyard. I'll stop by the drugstore and pick up some soft drinks. Then you can get the deal of your life.
The devil ducked into a pharmacist and bought a half gallon of arsenic, a quart of strychnine, pint of cyanide of potassium, and prussic acid, mixed together with hemlock and nitroglycerin, and returned to the graveyard, ready for a nice social afternoon, while Stack sat waiting on a tombstone.
"My boy, you sure look good, sitting there on that tombstone. Only way you'd look any better would be laying under it."
"You said you had a proposition for me."
Yes, I do. "It'll take an unusual man, though. Someone whose soul I can't snatch so easy. You know, most souls come to me without a living struggle."
"All right, what's the proposition?"
"It's for an unusually strong soul. Someone hard to get."
"Like mine?"
"I don't know. Care for a drink?"
"I don't mind."
"A soul after my own heart. I knew you belonged to me, Stack. I just knew it. Yes, I did. I just knew it. I'm drinking now. Just drink that. Man, now I'm sure of it.
It's mighty thirsty, Mr. Devil.
Well, you just drink some more of this, and boy, you'll never be thirsty anymore.
That's mighty good. Don't tell me you're on the wagon, Mr. Devil.
Well, sort of. That is, you know, it's a little rich for me.
Then you won't mind if I drink the rest of this soda pop.
Go right ahead. You, feeling all right, Stack?
Never felt better in my life. Now about that proposition.
Well, I see you're gonna be a hard soul to get a hold of. Well, to put all my cards on the table and be perfectly honest, as always am, I've noticed your trend. You're gonna be an outlaw.
I ain't surprised at that.
Well, in your line of work, you run into quite a few souls that are overdue. Should be burning in my furnaces right now. Sort of like for you to speed them on.
I see. And what do I get?
Oh, I'll fix it so the law can't lay a hand on you. Why, I'll increase the powers you already got. And son, you got some. I'll teach you how to play that guitar you're holding there in a magic way. And, of course, I'd sort of like to have your own soul.
Over my dead body.
That's what I mean. Now, to put all my cards on the table and be perfectly honest, as I always am, as long as you don't kill an innocent human, I couldn't take your soul nohow.
I ain't gonna harm no innocent soul.
Maybe. Maybe not. Then, if you get married in a year's time without harming an innocent one, you're free of me.
Well, it's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal.
No, sirree. It ain't.
Say, hold up.
Huh?
How could be doing all this for me, Mr. Devil?
Come on, my boy. Just remember the devil does a good deed now and then just to amuse yourself.
All right. It's a bargain. Now, which way will I find the most desperate criminal in the country?
Well, I'll tell you. That ought to be down around where the Ku Klux Klan hides out.
Where is that?
You see that long, long street there?
Uh-huh.
That street goes all the way down to Alabama and Florida.
That's a bad-looking street.
Yeah, and the further down you go, the badder it gets. Well, the Grand Dragon of the Klan lives on that street. In the last block. In the last house.
Stack went down the long street, and the Grand Dragon heard him on his way, scratching his back with his 45. And as he took a shortcut through the Ozark Mountains, the dragon sent a 10-foot rattlesnake to stop his Stack-a-Lee. The rattlesnake took pity on day-old Stack-a-Lee and gave him a few warning rattles, just to get his eye. And Stack laid down his 45, just to be fair, and gave the rattlesnake the first three bites.
Oh.
He did wince in pain at the first bite. Grinned the second bite. And fell down laughing at the third bite. It tickled him so. Well, then he waded into the reptile and flayed him until the old rattler yelled for mercy.
Please, Mr. Stack-a-Lee, have pity on poor me, please.
Who's the baddest baby ever born?
Stack-a-Lee from Tennessee.
All right, then. Let me go down the road in peace.
Yes, sir, Mr. Stack-a-Lee.
Stack wrapped the rattler around his pants for a belt, walked on down the long street, until a mountain lion sent by the Grand Dragon jumped from a tree and lit on Stack's neck. The lion weighed more than three steers and a calf and had digested a platoon of men the day before. Stack laid down his 45, just to be fair, and in a minute had knocked the fight out of the lion, and the lion hollered.
I give up, Stack. Man, can't you take a joke? You can't take a joke at all.
Well, then, Stack met a cyclone, the worst that ever hit the South. And being tired of walking, it toned the tornado down and got on its back, rode the rest of the way down to the end of the street, slid down a streak of lightning, and knocked on the door of the last house.
Who's it?
Big Stack of Lee from Tennessee.
Move on back up the road while I still got my temper.
You run the clan.
That ain't all.
You're one of the men who keep up those white folks on this side.
Boy, I'll write 'em. What's your business?
A little funeral business.
Now, boy, don't let me get mad, because I'm scared of my own self when I get mad.
And I ain't scared of nobody.
No, stay back, boss. Stay back. He's all mine. I'll save you the trouble of lynching him later. Now, I got a .32 special on a .44 frame. And how can I miss? We never got dead aim.
All right. You've got your big gun, and I got mine. Just rap on the cartridge, if you don't mind dying.
Stack Lee, oh, Stack Lee.
They say that both guns went off together. And when the smoke cleared away, there was one man standing and one stretched out on the ground.
Well, I see you right on the job, Stack, keeping your bargain.
I didn't intend to shoot. Only wanted
never
to
mind. I'll note this down on your account. One grand dragon of the KKK. Back home a little ahead of schedule. Yeah. Good, Stack. Good. Like I said, you won't find no danger at all till you decide to marry. And find you can't. So long, Stack.
And Stack Lee went wandering around the wharfs and the levees of the Mississippi. Met men he did in and men who wanted to do him in. And after each encounter, the devil checked.
16, 18, 20 souls sent to my apprentices. Nice work, Stack, nice work. Very nice, very nice.
And the news of the shooting spread pretty fast. And thereafter, sheriffs from Savannah to Knoxville, Birmingham to New Orleans, tacked up signs advertising
Stack Lee.
If anybody see that bad man, Stack Lee, shoot him first, then bring him to me.
Stack Lee.
Shoot him on sight and collect a reward. And if he sees you first, send your soul to the law.
Who is Stack Lee?
And Stack, carousing around the riverboats and gambling houses of the Missouri, got to be the best blues man on the river. He sang while the bloodhounds and the sheriffs baited at his heels, and he hid out so long in the Silver Moon Cafe on Market Street in St. Louis that the devil got impatient for a soul and caused a woman named Stack of Dollars to come in the cafe one night. Now, she split the men apart as she strode to the gaming table, sat down a stack of silver dollars, and cried out,
"From Memphis to Macon, they call me Stack of Dollars. 'Cause win, lose, break even, I ain't the one to holler. I pile my money mountain high, 'cause my only limit is the clear blue sky."
Let it roll, boys. Let it roll.
Lady Luck brought me many a buck. Shell out, mister, shell out.
Shell out? Anybody ever told you ladies not allowed to play in the Silver Moon?
Now you tell me.
Now you know.
Pay off.
Get out while they're getting
out. All
Stack of dollars. Stack of dollars shot her right to the wheelman's jaw. He shot down the holy ground like he'd been to call say a prayer. Two bouncers edged in, and she drove one's nose so far down into his face, whenever he breathed, he air-conditioned his spine. And then she stacked her dollars and strode towards the door, where Stack of Lee stood with his Stetson hat in hand and bowed.
Miss, I've been looking for you for a long, long time.
What's on your mind, honey boy?
That right cross did it.
What?
Made me love you on sight. I love a fighting woman.
And I love a fighting man. Going my way?
That's the way it went. The devil chuckled, 'cause he knew what was coming. And when they got down to the nitty-gritty, Stack of Dollars had a weird tale to tell Stack of Lee.
Stack.
Hmm?
You gotta convince my father before we can marry.
I convince most people.
Yeah, my old man wouldn't believe nothing. He wouldn't even believe it was hot if he was in the devil's furnace. He's sick now. Convince him that he needs help and we'll get married.
Leave it to me, honey. I'll make him feel he's so sick, he's dead.
Stack of Lee.
No such thing. I ain't a bit sick as ever was. And listen, gal, don't come bringing in no young man to tell me no lies.
But father, this is Stack of Lee.
Stack of Lee the bad man? He ain't no such thing. He ain't Stack of Lee.
Oh, but I am, Mr. Dollars, and I want to marry your
daughter. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't believe a word of it. Now get on out my side while I'm still in a loving temper.
And way down below, the devil chuckled, when Stack brought in a doctor for Mr. Dollars.
Mr. Dollars, the doctor is here.
Huh? Doctor? What for?
Now, easy, Mr. Dollars. You're a very sick man.
You're crazy. Nothing wrong with me. Nothing at all.
Nothing, only that you're dying.
Who's a dying? I'm as better health than I ever been.
In exactly 24 hours, Mr. Dollars.
I don't believe a word of it.
You'll be dead.
I don't believe a word of it. No, not a word.
Mr. Dollars died. Well, the undertaker came, and they bore him to the graveyard and buried him. Stack of Lee drew a long breath, and he and Stack of Dollars got ready to be wed. But Stack of Dollars came into church.
Stack! Stack!
Yes, what is it?
His father.
What's the matter?
I went to the cemetery to put flowers on Father's grave. He wasn't in it.
What?
He was sitting on the fence. He won't believe he's dead.
Stack of Lee went out to the cemetery to talk to his would-be father-in-law, and Mr. Dollars sat on top of his own tombstone, dusting off his clothes.
Mr. Dollars, believe me, you're dead, completely dead. You can't get around.
No such thing, young man. I never felt better in my life.
But you've been buried.
Then why am I sitting here feeling healthy and happy after I'm dead? I don't believe a word you say.
And week after week, Mr. Dollars sat in the graveyard, swearing he was the healthiest man in Tennessee. And the undertakers refused to rebury him, and down below, the devil grinned and waited for the evening to come when Stack of Lee would need his help. Well, that evening came, and someone knocked late at night at the Dollar House.
Me, gal, open the door and let me come in the old house. Where's the fire? Got to warm my toes.
Oh, but father, you...
Don't tell me I'm dead again. No such thing. No such thing. Here. Let me put my feet with the fire to warm them. Whew. I ain't nowhere near dead.
Stack of Lee felt the devil's breath on his neck, and he knew he had to find some way of convincing the old man that he was dead. Sun down, sun up, Mr. Dollar sat warming his hands and feet by the fire. Now, Stack's time was running short.
I wish the old man would go to...
Well, well, well.
Need must help, hey, Stack? Now, don't be stubborn, boy. Speak up. In fact, I sort of owe you something on the last contract, Stack.
Praise the Lord.
Please, I wish you wouldn't mention that name around me. Now, about helping you.
What's your price?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. You'll be married before your year's up, it says here. And you won't kill an innocent human either. I wouldn't worry about price. I'll collect mine somehow. Usually do.
Then help me.
Well, help lies in learning how to handle the guitar. Learn to play so well that whoever listens will dance themselves to death. Hey, give me your fingers.
The devil took Stackley's fingers and taught him how to play the way no one had played before. And when he went calling on Stack of Dollars, he saw the old man warming his feet by the fireplace.
What's the guitar for, Stack?
It's to send your father back where he belongs.
How?
I made a bargain.
With the devil?
Never mind. When I play my guitar now, everyone who hears it's got to dance, even the dead. I'm going to see if it'll convince the old man.
Stack just touched the strings, and the way they played, why, the old man jumped up.
Oh, I'll see this. Play that thing, Stack. Play that thing. Watch me, folks. Watch me.
Stack played like he'd never played before. Father-in-law jumped from his chair, took one step, and went into a jig. He skipped, and he pranced, and he cakewalked. He flippy-flopped, his knees were knocking. Soon his bones began flying about the room. A rib rolled like a barrel hoop across the floor. And Stack played faster and faster and forgot about time. Until the last bone had been separated from the old man. Until he had convinced the old man that he was dead. Then stopped and looked around. And saw that Stack of Dollars, too, had danced herself to death.
Didn't I tell you I'd get your soul? Didn't I tell you? You killed an innocent human. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I? Payment in full's what I call it.
But the court called it murder in the first degree. The judge said hanging was what the price would be.
Stackley, oh, Stackley.
They gave Stack coffee, they gave Stack tea, they gave Stack all but the jailhouse key. The devil came saying,
Stack, hunt your hole. I've waited long to get your soul.
When they got into the scuffle, folks heard the devil shout,
come take Stackley, for it puts my fire out.
Yeah, well, that's the tale of Stackley. You know, I got it straight from folks who saw him and live to tell about it. Now it's just jaybird gossip and mockingbird lore. But that's the story of Stackley.
Stackley. Oh, Stackley.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Tales of Stackley, based on material from the famous Ona L. Spencer collection. Destination Freedom, produced by Homer Heck, is written by Richard Durham and directed by Dick Loughran. The role of Stackley was played by Fred Pinkard. The narrator was Dean Almquist. Others in the cast were Weslin Tilden, Oscar Brown Jr., Jess Pugh, George Kluge, and Sid McCoy. Special music was played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the legend of John Henry. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.